ある。
哦，那被。
没了。
Well, good morning, everybody. It looks like they're just about ready to start with our music, so I'll introduce the service. So welcome to everybody on Zoom from all different countries and locally, and also from Sydney body and Terrigal body as well. So today is the second of our spring series about seeing God around us and the fact that God is light. So we're talking today about the 12 gems, and it's a bit of a mystery what they are. So see if we can unpack that through the service this morning. And I've chosen for the verses to think about. And the foundations of the wall of the city were garnished with all manner of precious stones. And I saw no temple therein, for the Lord God Almighty and the Lamb are the temple of it. So, as I said, this is part of the God is light, seeing God around us. Then we're looking at numbers in the Bible and food and health, so to come in the next few months. So I think, are you ready there, Linda?
Yep. Thank you, okay. James. All right, well, if everyone would like to stand up, our first song is Hallelujah to the King of Kings.
Thank you.
Lee's glorious day. The mix up with the words there. Our last song is Have Faith in God.
Because of when
right, well, thank you, singers. I'm sorry I made it a little bit harder for you in that second song. I don't know where these words go sometimes. So, talking about this particular month of work, last week we heard about the light and the darkness. This week is the 12 gems, different colour gems, like the many mansions Jesus spoke about. Then we'll go on and look at the colours in the Bible, brighter than the sun. So maybe that gives us some idea about the precious stones. So the foundations of the wall of the city were garnished with all manner of precious stones, and I saw no temple therein, for the Lord Almighty and the Lamb are the temple of it. So before we start on some of that detail, I'd like to ask you to bow your heads while I repeat the Lord's Prayer according to St. Luke. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come. Thy will be done as in heaven and so in earth. Give us day by day our daily bread and forgive us our sins, for we also forgive everyone that is indebted to us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Now I think some of today's lesson is about that will being done in earth as it was in heaven. So we'll see some more about that. So we're going to be reading about the New Jerusalem in Revelation 21. And that's where the gems are. The gems are the foundations of the walls of the city. But it's just interesting, if you take we'll read that passage shortly, and this will probably add some meaning to it. But if you look at the measurements of the city, it's 12,000 stadia in length, breadth and height. Now, my co-pilot AI said to me that was roughly 2,200 to 2,400 kilometres per side. And of course, this is width, it's length, breadth and height. So it goes up into the sky. So this area, when you look at it, is over half the size of Australia and about twice the size of Pakistan. So I got my maps out and I checked all that out. And it reaches upward to the level that we run our lowest medium Earth orbit satellites. So at about 2,000 kilometres up, we run the first of our medium orbit satellites. They do different things, which I didn't know before, but it's a big area. And when you consider the circumference of the world is about 40,000 kilometres, it certainly is a big area of the world, just for one city. The walls alone were 66 metres high, but of course that's about the height of a 20-storey building, and they would pale into insignificance against the length and breadth of the city. So I like the line here, it's not just a city, it's a cosmic sanctuary. So, and that empty, that echoes the Holy of Holies design in the temple and the tabernacle, of course, being length, breadth and height all equal. So the entire city is a holy place saturated with God's presence. Now, if we want to look at it from a symbolic point of view, the number 12,000, the 12,000 stadia, 12 is a number of divine government. So you see it show up in the 12 tribes, the 12 apostles, and they're mentioned in the foundations, right? 1,000 often symbolizes completeness or vastness. So it's like perfect government that is complete. So a perfect and expansive kingdom. Now, the holy city itself, the cube shape suggests perfection, symmetry and divine order, and the vast scale implies abundant space for all redeemed humanity. So you see some pictures of the holy city and you think it's a bit like those comic pictures you see of Noah's Ark, where you've got one or two giraffes sticking out the top, an elephant's trunk and a couple of monkeys, and it looks the size of the thing you put in your bathtub. So and when you look at the size of Noah's Ark, the dimensions were those of an ocean liner. Well, you can see that God's Ark in this situation has incredibly increased in size. So this is one such picture which I saw, but I wanted to use this picture not because it's really practical now that we know how big the holy city is going to be, but the fact that the foundations are the base of the wall, and it's the foundations where the gems are laid. That's where we see the gems are in there, and then there's clear walls and gold all the way through the city. So those things are obviously all symbolic of something. And you tend to think about the foundations. The foundations were those, it says, they were laid by the apostles. So the 12 apostles were the foundations. And for some reason, the gospel is the foundation. And the gates of entry is through the tribes of Israel, the names of the tribes of Israel, and that's the law. So we see that both those who enter the city have to adopt both gospel and law. So the foundations also apply principles or ways to live. So that's what the gospel teaches us in principles. The law gives us detail, mostly, but the gospels give us the principles. So what are we looking at here? We've seen these kind of parallels before. So when the children of Israel left Egypt and they had made the tabernacle, you can see in the middle of that where the smoke's rising, the tabernacle is in the middle of the people, and around the tabernacle, of course, were the priests, the Levites. But then the tribes were arranged in around the four sides in sets of three, and interestingly enough, with the inevitable change in name here and there, but the names of the tribes are reflected in the gates of the city. So you can see that we've got Judah, Issachar and Zebulun together on one side. And another interesting thing about Judah is Judah has a symbol of a lion. It also has a gemstone. Now, I'm not sure that I got all those right, but we'll have a look at those in a minute. Then Reuben, Simeon and Gad. Reuben was, he was a man. I think if I've got it rightly. And then Ephraim, Manasseh and Benjamin were another symbol. And Dan, originally a snake, but he came to be an eagle. So Ephraim was the ox, I think. So anyway, we've got this same formation of the tribes used to be around the tabernacle as the gates are around the holy city. So the precious stones, which we'll look at next, but we've got precious stones mentioned in a few different passages in the Bible. One of them is the precious stones in the high priest's breastplate, and that each one of those stones is meant to symbolize one of the tribes of Israel. The precious stones are also mentioned in Ezekiel, where it's talking about a Tyrus and meant to be a prophecy about Satan. And then we see them again in the New Testament in Revelation. So we've got these precious stones that are mentioned several times in Scripture. Now, they don't necessarily match up name by name, and one of the reasons for that is that in Old Testament, so you're talking about thousands of years between these mentions, there was no mineral classification, so they were just named after something nearby or where they came from or their particular shape. So some of the names did vary, even though the stones may not have. So this is a mock-up of the high priest's breastplate, and I went nuts, and even Carolyn mentioned it to me. She said some of the stones don't line up, but they didn't seem to line up, and I think that's why, is everybody's just got a slightly different take on them. But the important thing is there are 12 gems there. The 12 gems symbolize each one for the tribes of Israel, and then each one of those things, so for instance, I'm not going to read them all, but topaz, for instance, on the top top right of the picture. That was Stan Simeon. It symbolizes strength and intellect, whereas if we go to the bottom and we look at Onyx and Joseph, symbolizes inner strength and endurance. So these things are all positive attributes that are associated with these gems, and I think that's what we need to be taking out of it, that the gems are symbolic of the house of Israel and the promises to Israel, and each one of them has a kind of particular strength or purpose. Now, the other thing that's really interesting, and this is made by lots of commentators, the gems that are mentioned in the foundations of the Holy City are not, generally speaking, called precious gems. They're semi-precious. So they're not the ones that we would pick first. So like a diamond, even though diamond is mentioned in there, they think that diamond has come under other names. But in the particular list for the Holy City, these gems are semi-precious, but what they found was when they polarized light twice and created what they called pure light, so it's light that's not being scattered in any way. It's kind of all the light waves that are beating together, and they take that as a symbol of God. When you shine it through the gems, they all light up like the colors here. So these beautiful rainbow colours come from the refraction of this light, and that, I think, is an important thing to note, that when God is in our lives, we get this beautiful part of us brought out. On the other hand, diamond, which stands on its own as a stone, as a decoration, it doesn't. It's isotropic, these ones are anisotropic. So the isotropic ones just show up as dull. There's no particular colours given off. So I think if we got nothing more out of today than the fact that these gems are specially named to be the ones that turn God's pure light into beautiful colours. And that's the way that God should affect in our lives. So we'll come back to that a bit later in the message, but right now I'd like to ask Carolyn to come up. We've got quite a few readings here today, and the difficult song, we'll see what Terrigal's made of it. So let's hand over to Carolyn now. Thank you, Carolyn.
Thank you, James. So our first reading today is from Revelation chapter 21, verses 1 to 22. It's titled The New Jerusalem. And I saw a new heaven and a new earth, and God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. And he that sat upon the throne said, Behold, I make all things new. I will give unto him that is athirst of the fountain of the water of life freely. He that overcometh shall inherit all things, and I will be his God, and he shall be my son. But the fearful and unbelieving and the abominable and murderers and whoremongers and sorcerers and idolaters and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. I will now show thee the bride, the Lamb's wife. And he carried me away in the spirit to a great and high mountain, and showed me that great city, the holy Jerusalem, descending out of heaven from God, having the glory of God, and her light was like unto a stone most precious, even like a jasper stone, clear as crystal, and had a wall great and high, and had 12 gates, and at the gates 12 tribes, and names written thereon, which are the names of the 12 tribes of the children of Israel. On the east 3 gates, on the north 3 gates, on the south 3 gates, and on the west 3 gates. And the wall of the city had 12 foundations, and in them the names of the 12 apostles of the Lamb. And he that talked with me had a golden reed to measure the city, and the gates thereof, and the wall thereof. And the city lieth foursquare, and the length is as large as the breadth. And he measured the city with the reed, 12,000 furlongs. The length and the breadth and the height of it are equal. And he measured the wall thereof, 144 cubits, according to the measure of a man, that is, of the angel. And the building of the wall of it was of jasper, and the city was pure gold, like unto clear glass. And the foundations of the wall of the city were garnished with all manner of precious stones. The first foundation was jasper, the second sapphire, the third a chalcedony, the fourth an emerald, the fifth sardonyx, the sixth sardius, the seventh chrysolite, the eighth beryl, the ninth a topaz, the tenth a chrysoprasus, the 11th a jacinth, the 12th an amethyst. And the 12 gates were 12 pearls. Every several gate was of one pearl, and the street of the city was pure gold, as it were transparent glass. And I saw no temple therein, for the Lord God Almighty and the Lamb are the temple of it. We're now going to sing hymn 73, which describes New Jerusalem. We invite the Terrigal singers to please accompany us for that song. While they're coming, I'll read the first verse. Song 73. The precious stones are wondrous fair, which in Jerusalem's groundwork glare, their variegated hue, of blue, green, yellow, red and white, emitting beauteous rays of light, a sight most beauteous show. Thank you, Terrigal singers.
Thank you.
Thank you very much, Terrigal. Blessings. We're now going to continue our reading from the Old Testament from the book of Ezekiel, chapter 28, verses 12 to 19. And it's titled Symbolic of the Fall of Satan. Son of man, take up a lamentation upon the king of Tyrus, and say unto him, Thus saith the Lord God, Thou sealest up the sum full of wisdom and perfect in beauty. Thou hast been in Eden, the garden of God, every precious stone was thy covering, the sardius, topaz, and the diamond, the beryl, the onyx, and the jasper, the sapphire, the emerald, and the carbuncle, and gold. The workmanship of thy tabrets and of thy pipes was prepared in thee in the day that thou wast created. Thou art the anointed cherub that covereth, and I have set thee so. Thou wast upon the holy mountain of God. Thou hast walked up and down in the midst of the stones of fire. Thou wast perfect in thy ways from the day that thou wast created, till iniquity was found in thee. By the multitude of thy merchandise they have filled the midst of thee with violence, and thou hast sinned. Therefore I will cast thee as profane out of the mountain of God, and I will destroy thee, O covering cherub, from the midst of the stones of fire. Thine heart was lifted up because of thy beauty. Thou hast corrupted thy wisdom by reason of thy brightness. I will cast thee to the ground. I will lay thee before kings, that they may behold thee. Thou hast defiled thy sanctuaries by the multitude of thine iniquities, by the iniquity of thy traffic. Therefore will I bring forth a fire from the midst of thee. It shall devour thee, and I will bring thee to ashes upon the earth in the sight of all them that behold thee. All they that know thee among the people shall be astonished at thee. Thou shalt be a terror, and never shalt thou be any more. Our next reading is from John chapter 14, verses 1 to 4. And this New Testament reading is about Jesus' promise of many mansions. Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. And whither I go, ye know, and the way ye know. And from Matthew chapter 13, verses 24 to 30 and 44 to 50, ways to understand God's kingdom. Another parable put he forth unto them, saying, The kingdom of heaven is likened unto a man which sowed good seed in his field. But while men slept, his enemy came and sowed tares among the wheat, and went his way. But when the blade was sprung up and brought forth fruit, then appeared the tares also. So the servants of the householder came and said unto him, Sir, didst not thou sow good seed in thy field? From whence then hath it tares? He said unto them, An enemy hath done this. The servant said unto him, Wilt thou then that we go and gather them up? But he said, Nay, lest while ye gather up the tares, ye root up also the wheat with them. Let both grow together until the harvest. And in the time of harvest I will say to the reapers, Gather ye together first the tares, and bind them in bundles to burn them, but gather the wheat into my barn. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like unto treasure hid in a field, the which when a man hath found, he hideth, and for joy thereof goeth and selleth all that he hath and buyeth that field. gain the kingdom of heaven is like unto a merchant man seeking goodly pearls, who when he hath found one pearl of great price, went and sold all that he had and bought it. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like unto a net that was cast into the sea and gathered of every kind, which when it was full, they drew to shore and sat down and gathered the good into vessels, but cast the bad away. So shall it be at the end of the world. The angels shall come forth and sever the wicked from among the just, and shall cast them into the furnace of fire. There shall be wailing and gnashing of teeth. I'd now like to invite James up to give us the message for today. Thank you, James.
Thanks again, Caroline, for the readings. And we'll see where each one of them fits into place as we go along. So, and the foundations of the wall of the city were garnished with all manner of precious stones. And I saw no temple therein, for the Lord God Almighty and the Lamb are the temple of it. So what I'd like to do is to start at the beginning, I guess. And if we go back to the beginning, we've got to sort of dig through the Bible a little bit to get the things in order. But we hear in Job how the sons of God sang for joy. So we are talking about seeing, we're talking about everybody working together, we're talking about everybody praising God. So we come from that time. Then we see the prophecy in Ezekiel about Cyrus, which we take to be Satan, and we start seeing things, strife starting to happen. So what kind of strife is it? You know, you look at the description of Satan, and he was absolutely perfect. He was a covering cherub, which means that he was like the cherub on the Ark of God in the Holy of Holies. He was so close to God that he was right there. He was right there taking everything that came from God and to God. He was a being of light, a being of praise, a being of protection. So he was that covering cherub that actually looked after the throne of God. And what happened to him? He started to think things outside of God's purpose. God had created him. The phrase tabrets and pipes are taken to mean his voice was built for praise. He was just a perfect being, and he was able to, I mean, he's very convincing, isn't he? Satan, in our lives, we find that he's very convincing and very, very well modulated in the way he can pitch something. We feel like we're doing nothing wrong, and then all of a sudden we've gone over the edge. We've done something wrong. So it's like he was just in a perfect state to be a part of God's kingdom. And we see all the gems mentioned there, all of those beautiful gems. The gems are sort of like, in a way, I think of the gems as being how our lives are lived, the kind of way we show ourselves out to the world. And as we said before, if the light of God shines onto our gem, then we can show a beautiful pattern and colour to the world. If the light of God does not shine on us, then maybe we're not so good. But it's just one way of looking at it. But in that talking about Satan and how he became the source of iniquity and division in God's kingdom, talks about him walking in the stones of fire. Now let me ask any one of you, what happens when you pick up a stone of fire? You get burned, right? Just as when we're enticed of our lust, as James said, we're drawn away and enticed of our lust, and that causes us to sin. Because we think we know better than God, or we think we understand things and we judge people. There's a whole lot of things that go on behind the scenes that bring us to transgress. But these stones of fire are what Satan has. He had stones of fire and he got burnt. And then what did he do? He got kicked out of heaven, came to earth, and he set the same thing up in Eden. He deceived Adam and Eve. And again, he brought these stones of fire into our lives. He brought the evil into our bodies. So that was the promise or the prophecy made in that Ezekiel saw, that Satan would be brought low, that this power of evil would be no more at some time and at some place. Well, of course, we all know that in course of time, Jesus came, and Jesus showed us a different way. We had before that, the Israelites had the law, and anyone who wanted to become a part of that could, as long as they took on that life. But then Jesus came and he taught us the reasoning behind everything. He taught us to, in a way, to serve God through love rather than writ. So he laid that foundation there. And as it said in the hymn, Jesus was the cornerstone. He was the beginning. You know, the cornerstone that's laid down before any building starts, it gives you the measurements, it gives you everything that you measure from that cornerstone, so everything works together. So he's the cornerstone in the foundation, and from there, all of the other things are built, all the other foundations are laid, and then the walls on top. So we see that Jesus laid a foundation. And what was that foundation? It was that if we believe in him and follow and accept his sacrifice, believe in God, believe in Jesus' sacrifice, that our souls will be saved. So it's like the beginning of the ridding of evil. We get it taken out of the effects of evil that are in our emotional body, in our memories, in our lives, is taken away when we accept Jesus. And then, what are we meant to do then? We're meant to be following the way of life that he taught. If you love me, keep my commandments. Well, these commandments include what's been given to Israel. These commandments include what he taught his disciples. So if you love me, keep my commandments. And we're told that if we love him and keep his commandments, which of course we can't do on our own, but if we love him and keep his commandments, then we will have right to the tree of life. So we see then in the prophecy or the vision of the New Jerusalem, the foundation being laid, Jesus the cornerstone, the mission or the teachings through the apostles as being the gems laid for the foundations. And then upon that, we built a golden wall. So when we can get the foundations right, we can go ahead and build the golden wall. We can then enter through the gates into the city. So what's the city? Well, there's some interpretations talk about the city being the Spirit of God. So in our understanding, the city is the two immortal spirits of God, Christ and Jerusalem, that can take us and bring us to perfection. Now I might just digress again and say that when Jesus offered his sacrifice, that freed our souls. But he showed us the way to free our bodies. He showed us that that was what had to be done, what God wanted to do as time went on. And we know that that promise has been given earlier on in Revelation to the remnant of Israel. Now this we're not talking about the historic Israel necessarily. We're not talking about people who identify themselves as a state of Israel, or even know that they are Israelite or Jewish in heritage. What we're talking here is about the call of the heart, that God calls to people to do this work for him. Yes, they probably will have some lineal descent from that original Israel and from Abraham and going back to Seth and right back to the promise in the Garden of Eden, because that's God's way. He won't say anything and not do it. It will all happen. But when we have the call of the heart, then we can give our lives to God and start following in that way. So we see there in the New Jerusalem that to follow the gospel, to follow the law, to join them together, we can enter into the gate, in through the gate into the city being the Spirit. So that Spirit then will do the work in us. It's like we talked a little while ago about the vineyard. And in the vineyard, it was sown with good grapes, but turned into wild grapes. But once the wild grapes are tamed, once a graft is put in, once we're grafted into Christ, and once the Holy Ghost is grafted into us, then we can produce those good works that we need to, the good fruit, the fruit of immortality. And that same fruit, or that same mission, is reflected in the light given off by the gems. So the gems are the hope that brings us to understand our way forward. So when we look at the vision of the New Jerusalem, we see the exact opposite to what happened to Satan. So Satan started in the great spot. He started very close to God. He was clothed in all kinds of gems, all kinds of good works, all kinds of reflecting of God's ways. And then he became evil. He became more about himself than about God. He became more about the stones of fire. So we find that his fall was prophesied, and his fall will happen as the rise of New Jerusalem happens. So when you look at the story there about the New Jerusalem, only those people who were overcomers were allowed in. So we have the opportunity to follow God and to be overcoming evil in some way, whether it's in part or in promise, or whether it's full, like the steel tribes of Israel are going to do. It doesn't matter. We still have access to the entry of the city. And there are overcomers that completely reverse the way of Satan. So Satan started good, went bad, where we'll start being afflicted with evil and work our way through the power of the Spirit to become good and perfect. So Jesus has shown that in his life and sacrifice, how he was perfect, how he could overcome death. And that is a big part of God's promise to mankind, that not only will there be a resurrection, but there will be those who show that they can overcome evil and death. So I hope this has brought a bit more understanding about the light of the gems, and that we hope that our gem, our body, can start to show the perfect light of God. So I'll just share this screen again, and we'll finish up with our last song. I'd just like to read that take-home verse there. And the foundations of the wall of the city were garnished with all manner of precious stones. So all of those people who have begun to reflect or to show, when the light of God shines through them, they show that betterness of light, betterness of life. They show some godliness in their life. And I saw no temple therein, for the Lord God Almighty and the Lamb are the temple of it. So unlike the Israelites, when they were of old, the temple was in the middle. This new Jerusalem, once you enter in through the gates, you are in the temple. That is the temple. So I'd like to just conclude now with hymn number 18. And this one is fortunately not as tricky as the other one. It has some unusual placement of words. So God from Mount Zion sends his law. His word doth from Jerusalem go with accents beauteously sublime to every near and distant clime. Thanks, Linda. Thank you all for attending today. I hope there's some message that has come through to help you through life. We'd like to invite you again next week to attend our Zoom service or to attend a church in person near you. So thank you all. Thanks, Tim.